Home World. One of them has been with us forever and a day. His name is Chris Moran. Chris has played Percy in every single Harry Potter movie, and he's just been such a friend to the fans over all these years, and so it feels so fitting that you're with us for this.
It's nice to be here.
Scarlett, we met like last week. Ivana said, God, please don't kill me, I know it's late, but you can say no, I swear you can say no, it's fine, can I, this is my friend Scarlett. I said, are you kidding? She plays Pansy. No, Ivana, we don't want Pansy Parkinson. But since then, she has just been so enormously friendly, giving out movie tickets. I'm Scarlett, I play Pansy, please have a ticket. The one who needs absolutely no introduction is Ivana Lynch. The true one of us who would have been here at this conference anyway had she not gotten the part of Luna Lovegood. So welcome, guys. First of all, the films it's done. And I know there's only been a few films for you, Scarlett, but what is this like now that this sort of epic journey is finished?
I don't know. The whole thing's just been epic. It's been such an amazing experience. I can't even describe how brilliant it's been. But yeah, it is so sad. Especially like I said the other day when we all went and saw at the IMAX with all of you guys. I couldn't believe your reaction. But it was so special going and seeing lots. So thank you for that.
Yeah, it is weird. I don't know. It's strange because it feels to me, I've been doing it, it'll be 11 years in the end of August since I got the part. So, a long time. I was 16 and I'm nearly 28. I don't know. It's weird because it still doesn't feel real. And I know that's ridiculous, but it's such a strange job. It's not a job, but it is a job. It's fun. It hasn't been like hard work. It hasn't felt like 10 years. And it's, yeah, I'm sad. And the other day when we saw the film on Thursday was the first time I'd seen it, which was special. seeing it, but it was quite nice. I just sat there and I got to the snake bit and I was okay, and then all of a sudden I was like, and then like two-thirds of the way through it suddenly clicked that, oh my god, this is it, it's coming to an end, and the credits are going to roll in like 25 minutes, that's it. And then I was a little bit unconsolable for the moment. But it was, it's special, it's special.
We'll see. No, but it's you hit a great point because we were talking last week about everybody talking about it being over, everybody's talking about it being over. But we have LeakyCon and that extended, but we have Pottermore and that extended, but we have this and that. And so do you ever really think there'll be a moment where we say, oh, you know, that was fun among other things? Or do you think we were set up enough now that we'll carry it through the next phase of our lives? Because it has changed a lot of people's lives.
I think so. I think when you grow up with
Yeah, I know, we were talking about this the other day, and this is it. There's not going to be anything new from sort of massively new as far. I know there's the Pottermore and there's going to be new stuff there, but there's not going to be anything major, certainly in our foreseeable future. Who knows what Joe thinks? Nobody dare ask that question. I don't want to know what Joe thinks half the time, but
I do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we do, but then because she knows about everything that we do. You know that, don't you? Everything you guys talk about on the internet and your slash and your shipping. November, it's 10 years since the first film came out. You know, it's never going to actually go away. There'll be the anniversary of the book releases, and there'll be, I don't know, maybe director's cuts or 25-year anniversaries or something. And there's you guys, and you guys are going to, those of you who haven't already, are going to get married and have kids, and they're going to find Harry Potter, and then it's a whole new generation.
It's not like somebody's sort of taking stuff from
picking off Camus. It's like it's original material, so it's kind of,
yeah.
I don't know, it's separate.
I'm familiar with that. And I love watching Star Trek, because you won't get it if you're really big fan and you're a geek beyond that. That means. I know everyone's always meaning, yeah, that kind of thing. And it's just like, and it's a chance for like all these fans, amazing people to showcase their fans and get involved. I just love the community.
Okay, favorite part of the final film?
that bit between the Warner Brothers logo and the credits.
Yes. I thought you were going to say that bit where first you make up to this family.
Yeah, it was nice. I remember when I got the script for it, and I got a phone call from David Barrett going, "And don't be cross." Well, we've kind of had to trim things down a little bit. Now you'll see when you get the script. You'll see when I read it. Like, yeah, that sucked a bit, but at least I'm still there. That's actually, I don't really care whether I speak or not. As long as person, and the fact that I think Molly Weasley says what, one line in the entire film. It is the best line in the film. You know, the fact that I think that says enough is that there were so many people who came back to do the film, even though they were barely in it, it's like we've got to be here. So you could not be talking about it. We've got a script going. Really angry with the team. I was happy with it, really.
I really like animals, and I like how J.K. Rowling, she does a lot in her books about animal rights, and you just feel so sorry for that dragon trapped in the plane, treated so cruelly. I don't know, when Voldemort's there, it's lost, but all of the common fighting, hey, look what they did to the dragon.
Two instead of bed. They're supposed to be out of bed and mothering it again.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's
it's just the weather.
Yeah, and it was like this
I think Emma was at university for a lot of the time, so they actually had someone with a face of Emma and just because yeah, she had like prosthetics on her face. She couldn't like move. She could barely talk for a
No, so that thing was filmed over a long time, but I remember the last week when we knew it was the last week. It was quite emotional, and everyone was there. Mark Williams, he looked around and was like, this is the most expensive set of extras I've ever seen. Because it was like Maggie Smith and Mark Williams and Gemma Jones saying nothing, just standing there the whole time.
Gemma Jones and Miriam Margulies and Jim Broadbent were kind of...
in a window,
trapped in a window right at the back.
I mean, it was nice because when we finished it, we all had huge... all of us. It was so nice to finish on that scene because all of us at the end all got together, like everyone. And that's just, we took a huge, like, really lovely photo. Yes.
And they did feel really big and like it was the epic battle, but it didn't feel like fast paced at all.
But it was weird, like you were saying, we started it in November and then we had this massive snow. It was like 3 foot of snow in Britain, and obviously that's outside, so we had to wait for that. And they were hoping it was going to clear, and I just remember sitting there for days, singing, and I'm going, well, we'll probably get to it tomorrow. We'll bring you in tomorrow, we'll find something else we can do. And then we ended up shooting, I think it finished in July or something, that's June. Yeah, it was just insane. But it felt huge, and especially the scenes, that whole Neville bit, which is fab anyway, but they literally had all of us for... probably about half the shoot, but most of it they kind of turned it around, so we're shooting Hogwarts and the good people and then turning around and seeing Voldemort.
We all know Neville's speech, don't we?
Inside out. But there was a couple of days where where everyone was there, and it was pretty epic, just seeing sort of, you know, 400 Death Eaters.
Yeah, well, when we weren't filming it, a lot of us were back in the harbour rooms, just running around going crazy anyway. So it's nice to see everyone.
Can you tell us, Ivana, what you think about the Neville Luna romance that we had?
So cute! I think it's lovely, yeah. I've always considered it while reading the books because they have a lot of qualities, and they're both sort of the outcasts in the school, and yet they're sort of comfortable with that. And even J.K. Rowling, she said she felt like a pull between them towards the end. It's sweet and it's nice in the film. I think it's that feeling of when you're in a battle. Well, when are you in a battle? I don't know. When you're in just some situation that's very exciting and very tense, and you just go, yeah, okay, I'm just going to pour all my heart out, and then it's super awkward afterwards. I don't think they'd be a long-term thing because I think Luna's too sort of eccentric for Neville. Neville, like he's nice and he has all this courage and all that, but I think he probably finds Luna's her theories and all that a bit out there, and she needs someone who's just full of ideas and a bit of insanity. So yeah, you know, it's they'll have a flame, I'm sure. I like it for the film.
Chris and Scarlett, what is it about the movie that they've changed from the book that you think was a wise decision on their parts?
Go on.
I don't know. I think, like I was saying the other day, how because it is a movie, they did have to cut and squish loads of things together, but personally, I think they did it really, really well. And I thought the whole time that everything, like we were saying, it didn't feel like 2 and a bit hours. It didn't feel like that at all. There was so much going on, and even though obviously they did take some stuff out, they didn't really have a choice. And I think the stuff that they did put in, I think it worked really well considering we are talking about the movie. So I personally really enjoyed it.
I think the thing that I always found really interesting, I remember talking to somebody really quite early on, because we on the first film, I spent the majority of the time I shot in the first film was in Gloucester Cathedral shooting the peak scenes. When I was taking the Gryffindor, the first years up to the Gryffindor Common Room, we spent ages shooting all this peak stuff. And then when the film came out, I was like, well, where is it? Because it was my favourite bit. And they were like, well, the thing is that, you know, we can't... It's a story. The film is called Harry Potter. It's not called Harry Potter, Ron Weasley, Percy Weasley, Fred and George Weasley. It's called Harry Potter, so we have to concentrate on him and his story. You can't start kind of disappearing off onto these little tracks, otherwise there's no anything kind of binding the film together. It's just a little set of episodes. Which I get now, and I understand that, but it's still a shame to lose key moments, but I think all the major key moments are there, and if they're not completely there, like the Fred's death bit, which isn't entirely there, it's still there enough that you know it's happened and it's been nodded to, and Percy coming back, although there's not the whole thing in Room of Requirement with him being an idiot and all that. He still has his moment where he comes back and you go, oh yeah, here he is, and he's back, so that's cool. And I think that's the thing that David Yates was really keen to do, especially on this film, with it being the last one, it was that everybody got their moment. And everybody did get their moment, I think.
Except for Oliver Wood.
he was in the film.
Was he?
Yeah.
Where?
Sean Sharp.
I've seen it twice and I haven't seen him.
He's definitely there.
He's
not
burning
the
Quidditch,
is he? He's like trying to pick the sand.
Screenings before the premiere, so that you've kind of got an idea of what's going on. And I find if you're watching it in that atmosphere with the people you've worked on it with, it's like then you're watching it in a kind of, you know, almost in a more critical kind of a way. But I think the more I watch it anyway, generally speaking, the more I watch the films, the more I start to kind of look at it from a kind of, oh yeah, I remember that, I remember this is what happened.
Okay, so out of all the books, what was your favorite scene that didn't make it into any of the movies?
As the books? No. For me, actually, it's Percy's... basically, Percy in Goblet of Fire. That would be it for me. Would be Percy being the judge on the Triwizard stuff. That would be my personal bit that I kind of missed, but that's obviously for more selfish reasons. But still, that's I think that would be mine.
I had one. I almost cried when I heard it was Cousin Dumbledore's funeral.
Yeah. You can have my fee to pay for the funeral. That won't even cover it.
For me, it's always going to be the stuff at the Borough in Chamber of Secrets, because it was just amazing. Because we were all still quite new, and on the first film, I don't think we even met. No, we hadn't met Mr. Wheatley at that point. We didn't have a dad. And we'd only done I think 4 days ago with Julie, so it was still kind of new, that whole kind of family thing. And Bonnie had only been around for a couple of days at King's Cross. She was so tiny. Who knew? And then we had these 2 weeks shooting in the Borough, and it was in the middle of summer, and it was baking hot, and it was an interior set, so there was incredibly hot lights and things. And we're all in that 90, which was bizarre. It was just great because it was the first time we started to kind of, we'd all started to get kind of more comfortable with it, so we started improvising around the script a bit and having fun and just joking around as a sort of, as a family unit, which I think, that was a lot of fun. There's things about that scene that I can't repeat in public, but it was just brilliant.
Was there any improv that you, from the film over the years that didn't make it in that you can tell us about? That you can tell us about?
Well, there's the whole, Rick Mayall, the guy called that, do you guys know who Rick Mayall is? One person. Well, Rick Mayall basically was in a thing called The Young Ones on British television years ago. And Drop Dead Fred, of course. He was cast as Peeves, so we had this, like I said, these 2 weeks in Gloucester where he was just sort of, well, he wasn't obviously on screen, because that would be weird, because he was like earthbound and things. But he was just hilarious, and I got him to sign my book at the end of the thing. He wrote, "Dear Chris, quite the finest actor I've ever slept with, thank you." And that whole thing, the whole Mark Williams line in Chamber of Secrets with the, what exactly is the purpose of a rubber duck? There's about 70 different varieties of that line, and I'm not going to repeat any of
it. I would probably say, because in the sitcom for me, when I started, it would probably be the stuff I did on the train, because I would never ever forget like my first ever day at Euston. And the Great Hall stuff as well, because obviously everyone was involved, and it was just so much fun, such a great experience. So, that's amazing.
Mine was at the wedding scene with my dad. Because we only worked together for 2 days, but I'd been hearing about him, and I was so thrilled when they chose him. I think he's perfect. And I was in one day for, I think it was just a screen test for costumes and everything, and he was in because he was shooting the scenes in the Lovegood house, and I saw him across the yard, and he was dressed in his yellow robey thing, whatever it is he wears, his panel thing, and I just, for a moment, I completely forgot myself, and just had a little, Dad! Yeah. <That's> Dad! And we had a family hug and everything, and then it just felt like that for the 2 days that we were filming. It felt like we were, you know, alone together, and we were Lovegoods, and we're the only two wearing yellow, and we really stuck out. And then we put in the dance. That was kind of improvised. Everyone else was doing this waltz, and they had a choreographer. And then David was like, "Oh, I'm literally doing something nice." And I remembered that she had that dance, and Harry said she looked like she was batting away rack spritz. So we just were like, "Oh, how about this?" And we threw it in, and he got really into it. He was totally on, self-conscious, and just went for it and added a turn, and it felt just so Lovegood.
Speaking of the rack spritz dance, has everybody learned it now? Everybody's doing it. Just can you please tell us how they're playing bass for Harry and the Potters? The person you don't know about.
Went at half two in the morning, went to practice and learned and then I went on, and it was so cool being one of them. And with the Whomping Willows, we did the Rapsport dance. Come tonight, feel free. I'd love to see you doing it. I think it's a great move.
Tonight at the ball.
It got me a little, I mean.
Maybe Joey will learn it as well. Sorry, I'm mean. Next person.
Hi, I was just wondering, since you've been involved with the movies for so long in the same character, have any of you kind of subconsciously picked up any of Luna or Percy or Pansy's traits in your real lives?
Sorry, I was laughing, I meant it a bit. I don't know, no, I think actually as the years have gone on, I've become less like Percy, which is weird. Good, did someone say it was good? When I wrote off to get the audition for Percy, I was an only child. I am an only child, so that negates being Weasley, but I was the prefect of school, so it just figured. So that was me, I guess, just this ridiculous ginger hair and everything else. But I think as the years have gone on, I've become less Percy-like. I don't know. I suppose.
I don't really know. I don't think so. It was very fun doing it, so that's all I can say really.
I think we can all say you're absolutely nothing like Pansy. Yeah.
I think definitely when you spend time with him, you can't help but I always find I'm a lot calmer when I'm playing Luna, because I used to stress out a lot more. And also she just gave me a sense of just peace. Because it's kind of in People Should Buy Demons to Follow. And I used to have always that feeling of I'm very odd, I really stick out here. But then when playing Luna, she's meant to, she sticks out, but she's still awesome, you know, she's still perfect. And so whenever I have that feeling of just being, you know, that I'm not in the right place, I don't belong here, I just say, well, neither is Luna, so you're fine. So yeah, I've taken that from her, and I'm so grateful. She's been such an inspiration to me, and I just think she's so perfect, so I've always strived to have more of her positivity and all that.
Hi, I'm Neil Doran. We all know who J.K. Rowling intended to end up, every character intended to be with, like couples and stuff. Who do you think should have ended up together, like a Slash or a Ship?
Well, yeah.
Percy and Hermione would have always been quite well. But from like the early days when Hermione was really booky and nerdy and stuff before she got cool.
Over here, by the way, I'm still Luna Dumbledore. I just can't get the
Luna is a Luna, oh gosh. Ivana is a Luna Dumbledore shipper.
He's a time turner, it's fine. she's quite wise. She's a lot of, not a teenage boy, she doesn't do that messing around thing. She's very honest and you know, Dumbledore's sort of mature enough for that.
First of all, I'd like to say you're all beautiful, Ivana, Scarlett, Chris, Melissa. It's not true because I lost my voice, sorry.
Hear that, what?
You are beautiful!
Are you good? I'd just like to ask, this is more for Chris and Scarlett, do you ever like read the books and be like, man, my character is like a jerk? Like, I kind of understand that I have to do that.
I don't know, for me, when I had that Oscar Mike plans, I was like, yes, I'm gonna be a baddie. Everything was just so cool. I know it's obviously not like the good, like Gryffindor thing, but it was just so much fun. So I was actually pleased that I was playing a baddie, so it was very fun. I was fine with it.
I always quite enjoyed Percy being a bit of a prat. It's like playing baddies. Playing baddies is always a lot more fun than playing the good guys because there's always kind of more meat to them as characters. But I don't know, when the fifth book came out and Percy was just a complete asshole, I actually started getting letters from people saying, I can't believe how horrible he is. He's just a nightmare character. And I saw Joe at, yeah, I did. And I saw Joe at one of the premieres and I said, look, I'm getting hate mail. You've written, and she, and this was
probably from people in this room.
Yeah. I thought it must have been the third film.
Film was 2004. So 5 came out in 2003. Film was in 2004.
It would have been at Azkaban then. And she said to me was, don't worry, he'll redeem himself one day. And I was like, oh, what does that mean? and he did, so I kind of always had that slight knowledge that he'd probably be okay in the end.
You knew and you didn't say anything.
How could I?
I know. Trust me, I know. Now I can not tell you stuff.
How much does Melissa drink?
Not a lot, I trust you.
Hi, Aubrey. I was wondering if there were any pranks or crushes on set for this last film.
You want to do it, Ivana?
No, I
No. Maybe tonight.
That's all I can think of, anyway.
I'm just going to use my mic holder privileges to ask a question myself. It's more for Ivana than the others. I'm over here with the Buddha. I know that you're a wonderful crafter, and I'm a crafty witch for the Leaky Cauldron, so I was wondering, do you do any other type of crafts besides beading? Because I know you made your earrings for book 5. And the others, if you're a crafter, feel free to chip in.
I feel like I like beading and people seem to like it. It's just nice for presents and stuff. I do a bit of like sewing and stuff. Actually, tonight at the rock concert, I made a phoenix jacket.
It's so cool.
It's on the back, so yeah. But whatever I feel like. I think if you have something in your head, I'm always someone like, yeah, if I have an idea, I'll just go and learn the thing. I don't want to, I'm not brilliant at it. I'm not brilliant at sewing or reading or anything, but just dabbling in bits and bobs, yeah.
I'd love to craft with you one day.
Sorry?
I said I'd love to craft with you one day.
Oh, awesome, cool. Then we should start a circle.
Where did you pick up the dress? With the lightning bolt?
Somewhere in London. I've had it for 2 years, but I never had a chance to use it. I was like, they will appreciate this.
Light green ones,
yeah.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
This is for all of you. What's it like being at LeakyCon?
Best time ever!
Alright, a lynx.
That is
Shacklebolt.
It's the other one.
I don't understand it.
sorry I'm late.
Sorry I'm late.
Alright, we got two more and then we're gonna do photos.
Wait. How did they tell there was Harry in the book when they were all hijacking Polyjuice potion to look like Harry Potter?
Is that up
there?
How did they tell the difference in the seven Potters? Which one?
He uses Expelliarmus.
Expelliarmus!
Hello. What comic book does Ron Wheat read?
Sorry, we told him one.
Ivana thinks it's somebody the Marvelous Muggle or...
Yes. Martin Miggs, the Mad Muggle.
Sorry?
It's Martin Miggs, the Mad Muggle. That's what the performance is, it's the least I could do. Alright, one more, and then we're going to do photos.
Okay. What's the name of the guy who's trying to hit on Hermione during Ron's Quidditch audition?
Oh my God, yeah, Mona.
Join everybody in saying thank you guys so much.